you during your undergrad experience, and you're known to be a bully yourself. You also support bullying by allowing Faculty Senator Jack Lipton to refer to myself and other Black students who stood up for the mistreatment of Chair Vassar as a mob via Twitter. Mind you, Jack has no intention of apologizing to us after criminalizing us and creating a hostile environment. So I also want to give my profound appreciation to Dr. Rima Vassar for her unwavering commitment to standing up for student rights on campus. Her dedication to fostering a fair and inclusive environment is commendable and has not gone unnoticed. However, Brianna, your alleged past behavior as a bully yourself raises concerns about your ability to champion a positive and inclusive atmosphere. It's also troubling that you've also decided to defend Jack Lipton, because it's evident that his sentiments expressed don't align with the views of the individuals he's supposed to represent. As a faculty senate chair representing thousands of teachers, they all do not agree with what he has said. But that's okay, because the Higher Learning Commission and the Department of Education are investigating the potential criminalization of students as a matter that demands the university attention as well. However, the university has no intention to look into it, as our OIE reports have been denied. Once again, I would like to applaud Dr. Rima for her commendable efforts in advocating for student rights. I believe her leadership and commitment to inclusivity makes her valuable asset to the university community. However, there are some people on the board who do not deserve to have their position. And that's all I have to say, so I'm going to forfeit my time.
Bintu, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Missy Chola, followed by Michaela Bolton. Missy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, and please proceed.
Greetings, everyone. I address you once again today, taking a moment from my life as a student to discuss the shortcomings of this administration and ensuring our protection. Despite numerous meetings and statements, our concerns still seem to fall on deaf ears. Jack Lipton, Faculty Senate Chair. I trust you are well. I want to express my gratitude to you for two reasons. Firstly, thank you for jeopardizing my safety by referring to myself and my peers as a mob in an article that included our faces and names. Your characterization has placed us at significant risk, especially as young, Black, and courageous females exercising our right to voice our concerns. The impact was so severe that my parents, who are 8,000 miles away, called me expressing their concerns about my safety. Secondly, I appreciate the opportunity you've given me to challenge your actions. I have several questions regarding what you communicated to the HLC in your report. Personally, I believe that there are crucial details you seem to have missed out on, and I'm here to bring them to light. I'd also like you all to know that just as Mr. Lipton felt it was important to use his so-called voice, I used mine too, and I also sent a letter to the HLC on my thoughts about how our institution should be run. I definitely said that if I did not see a change within this institution, this would happen, and here we are. I'll start with criterion one. The institution's mission is clear and articulated publicly. It guides the institution's operations. Well, that's already a clear red flag, but criterion 1C3 states the institution fosters a climate of respect among all students, faculty, staff, and administrators from a range of diverse backgrounds, ideas, and perspectives. You do not respect us by silencing us and allowing constant discrimination against us daily. Slight reminder, no response is a response. Jack Lipton, you did not show a single ounce of respect when you criminalize us to the press. And also, let me just say, if you need a reminder of whether what you did had anything to do with racial bias or not, when we had our meeting with the Board of Trustees, one of the trustees had mentioned that you planned to reach out. Well, that was a lie. Last time I checked, you have not reached out to any of the students you made that comment towards. I hate to say this, Mr. Lipton, trust me, I do, but your level of incompetence on race and what racism really is disgusting and appalling. You say you're an educator, then act like one. Until we get an apology, we will continue to call you out. You all seem to give us this whole talk when you say, oh, we have no idea of what's happening. Well, that is your job, so do better. I don't want to hear anything about we have lives too. I'm a part of the NAACP MSU chapter, and when we had our meeting, that was one of your responses. You know we have lives too, right? We are full-time students. Some students are doing this while working to keep them in school. So for you to tell us that we need to give you guys some grace is ridiculous. Trustee Kelly and Trustee Scott, I'm talking to both of you directly. All we are asking for you to do is show up and fight for the protection of our students. Jack Lipton, once again, is Faculty Senate Chair, the leader of the faculty here. He is the one who speaks on behalf of them by all of his comments about Palestinians and Black students here. Does that mean that students are to transfer his beliefs about the criminality of Black students and Palestinians to all faculty? How are we expected How are we expected to learn from faculty who believe and see the worst of us? I'm almost done, I promise. Are professors now going to have racial bias when we enroll into their classes, or are they automatically going to give us bad grades or not let us speak because they think we'll cause a scene? I call for a public denouncement of Jack Lipton by the Board of Trustees and administration, and I also call for an apology, a public apology from you, Mr. Lipton. If you're willing to have a meeting, I would much appreciate it.
Missy, we are going to have to sort of move on, given sort of the overrun on time. So thank you for your comments. I appreciate that. Michaela Bolton will be our next speaker, followed by Nancy Vella. Michaela, can you you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Michaela, please proceed with your comments.
Good morning. I will keep this brief. To echo Missy and Bintu, first to Jack Lipton, your reference of a mob towards me and my friends shows where your care and compassion for your students stand. You should be proud that we stand and fight for what we believe rather than preferring that we be silent. Your students of color are part of the student body, and we should be treated as such. You are not the right person for the job, and I hope that you know that we call for your resignation and an apology. Next, I would like to discuss the board's choice to move this meeting to Zoom. We know that you're scared. Is it because of the power of your students or because you know that you're doing something wrong? Are you scared that your reputation can't take the hit of another meeting like the last? If what you're doing was right, you would have nothing to be scared of. You are adults who cannot take criticism. It's honestly embarrassing. I'm here to remind you once again that your Black students are asking to be protected on this campus. In this last week, finals week, during the midnight scream, the N-word with the hard ER was screamed by white students, and Black students are still demanding something be done. Your state news that you make us pay for released an article with the headline, "Today is Monkey Day." There's a video of an orangutan asking for a banana and throwing the peel, with the video and pictures of your Black students from the last trustee board meeting. And finally, we have face backlash on Facebook for our annual Black graduation celebration, saying that we should not be allowed to participate in regular graduation because we have our own and because we want to be special. I'm not going to waste your time telling you how harmful these events were, but I will ask you, how can your students of color be expected to succeed and become the global students you claim to be developing when we are not allowed to focus on our education like most students? Y'all are forcing us to put our studies on the back burner to ensure our own safety. As a board, you have failed your students time and time again. We do not feel safe nor like we belong, which goes against everything the school claims to stand for. You all need to engage in discussions with your students of color and learn what you need to do to better serve us, since you claim you don't know, though we have told you time and time again. The longer you allow these racist incidents to go unchecked allows other students to feel comfortable engaging in these acts. The hurt and pain of your students of color is on your hands, and there are many people who can give you a plan as to how to best support your students, but no one wants to have your conversations. Ask your students of color what they need to do and follow through. Put your money where your mouth is, because we all know that you have it. Before you do anything beyond this campus, you need to ensure your campus's safety and security for students of color. Thank you.
Michaela, thank you. Nancy Vella is our next speaker, followed by Chrissy Svenar. Nancy, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can indeed, Nancy. Please proceed with your comments.
Wonderful. Thank you. My name is Nancy Vella. I am speaking to the board once again, asking you to reinstate Sanjay Gupta as Dean of the Business School. 16 months ago, one of MSU's most prolific deans in both university academic standing and fundraising was wrongly terminated. The Quinney Manuel report clearly documents that Sanjay was wrongfully terminated by Interim President Woodruff. Instead of disciplining her, you handed her the interim president position. This administration's failure to reinstate Sanjay continues to cause damage to his reputation as well as undue stress to him and his family. This situation could have been easily rectified but is still unresolved because of the lack of leadership, professional jealousy, and underhandedness by the current administration. It is pathetic how much the political aspirations of certain board members get in the way of doing the right thing and causes them to ignore their fiduciary duty. The dishonesty and destructive behavior that continues to take place in the current administration is disturbing. From the lack of transparency to the infighting for political gain, it is destroying the MSU I knew and loved. The students, the faculty, the alumni, and the taxpayers are the ones being hurt by this bad behavior. This administration and the university as a whole will suffer more embarrassment when the discovery process in the pending lawsuit reveals, among other things, the evidence of the administration's threat of retaliation made against faculty if they cooperated with the investigation of the removal of Sanjay as the Broad Business School dean. This conduct has no place at Michigan State. You have a chance to make right a horrible wrong. Don't wait for it to all come out in discovery in court and embarrass yourselves and the university once more and cost the students and this university millions of dollars more in a lawsuit that should have never had to happen if the administration and the Board of Trustees followed university policy and facts. It is time to turn the page and start to act as a cohesive group, fulfilling your fiduciary duty. It takes all of you to listen and support each other. This is not an individual sport. I support all those who are fighting for transparency and honesty and who will reinstate Sanjay Gupta and the reputation of MSU. Only when the board does the right thing will alumni near and far be able to once again be a proud Spartan. Until then, I urge donors to continue to fight with their pocketbooks and withhold contributions. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Our next speaker is Chrissy Svenar, followed by Mervat Hakim. Chrissy, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can indeed. Good morning, and please proceed.
Thanks. Hello, my name is Chrissy Svenar, and I'm a 2003 Broad College graduate. Over the past 20 years, I have remained extremely active with the school, serving as a board member and chairman of the Financial Markets Institute within the Broad School for over 10 years. I have mentored countless Broad students over the years and hired several graduates to work at my firm. I've also been a consistent annual donor to the university. I hope my dedication to the university warrants your full attention today. Through my involvement with the Financial Markets Institute, I worked alongside Dean Sanjay Gupta through his efforts to promote the business school, recruit talent, and raise capital. Over the past 20 years, I have interacted with many MSU faculty, and I have never witnessed a leader work so tirelessly and selflessly for an institution as Dean Gupta. The Broad College and the university as a whole have benefited tremendously from Dean Gupta's leadership and efforts, whether it be in faculty talent, rankings, or dollars raised. This is why I am here today. I have been sickened to watch this university completely turn its back and destroy the career and reputation of Dean Gupta. Michigan State was thrilled with the benefits and treasure that Dean Gupta delivered, but was so quick to sever ties in the most public and embarrassing forum. And this was done without any regard to the ramifications to a person with the highest of moral codes and the pain to his family. I have written many letters to this board and the interim president pleading for the board to act on the facts presented to them. The time is now. We have a new president announced. Let us give this president a clean slate, finally. The board must take action to right the wrongs of prior administration and put Michigan State on a clean and solid foundation. We will never thrive as a university until we regain our moral compass. Given the release of Quinn Emanuel's independent investigation, there is no question any longer that Dean Gupta was wrongfully dismissed and had his name and reputation unnecessarily dragged through the mud with incorrect facts and lies. We all know it. Why has the board not acted? If the board had 1 ounce of humanity, a public apology would have been issued immediately. Why hasn't this happened? True leaders have the courage to admit when a mistake was made. Secondly, reinstate Dean Gupta into a leadership role within the university as he deserves, and frankly, the university needs. Dean Gupta is an asset to Michigan State. He has only shown himself to have the university's best interests at heart. Even today, he is currently in India promoting Michigan State to potential students and leaders, which shows the kind of man Dean Gupta is. Take this moment we have, a moment of change, a fresh start, and finally act like a board that has the students, faculty, and alumni's best interests at heart. Publicly apologize to Dean Gupta and reinstate him in a leadership position within the university. It's not too late to do the right thing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Chrissy. Our next speaker is Mervat Hakim, followed by Taylor Greeson. I don't believe Mervat is with us right now, but Taylor, I believe you are. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can indeed. Good morning, Taylor, and please proceed with your public comments.
Good morning. My name is Taylor, and I'm a senior at Michigan State studying political science and pre-law. I was born and raised in Lansing, and for as long as I can remember, my biggest dream was to come to this school. I was born at the hospital that is approximately 4 miles up the road from campus, the same hospital where my classmates were taken to for treatment after being attacked in class, a room that we pay to be in, that we pay to learn in, but as we saw on February 13th, our payments to the school did not pay to keep us safe. As a transfer student and a social science kid, my first ever class at Michigan State was in Berkey Hall. I spent countless hours and days in that building. Some days I was there more than my actual home. This includes the time I spent in that building just 4 hours before the first email was sent out. Berkey Hall was my home. And notice how I said was, as it is not anymore. Nowadays, I spend just as much time, if not more, avoiding that building. I don't see that building as a place where I met some of my closest friends. I see that as the building they barricaded themselves in. I don't look at that building and think about how I received a career-changing email in classroom 104. I look at that building as a place where two beautiful people were murdered in. I can go on and on on how I view that building, but I'm only given 3 minutes to speak. So to the board members, why is it so important for you to open this building again? It hasn't even been a year, and not that a year means anything other than 365 days, but my question to you is why? You've already reopened the union. It took you 2 months to do so. Actually, it took you less than 2 months to open it again. But what you did was build a wall to hide where the food court was. Is that what you're going to do in Berkey? Are you going to build walls around classrooms that my classmates were murdered in? Do you honestly think putting up walls is going to make us students forget what happened behind them? Because I haven't forgotten. Every day since February 13th, I have felt like this school has put a timeline on my grief, and I'm sorry that all of the classes I have taken here has yet to teach me how to manage a life after a mass shooting. There isn't a single class you could make me take that would believe reopening Berkey is okay, because it's not and it won't ever be. Other schools have waited years before reopening buildings where tragedy happened. Some have even torn down and rebuilt the buildings, but not Michigan State. They want to put up a few walls, add locks that should have been there to begin with, and go back to life as if nothing ever happened. I'm here to remind you that something did happen, and three Spartans will never walk this campus ever again, nor will they be home for Christmas next week. Let us heal without a countdown. Let us decide when and if we ever want classes to resume in that building. The students of the school and the supporters supporting us is what makes us Spartan strong, not whatever point or reasoning this board is trying to prove by forcing us to return back to a place where we lost two of us 10 months ago. If you genuinely care and want what's best for us, keep that building closed.
Thank you, Taylor. Our next public speaker will be Sayla Reinders, followed by Addison Kolatz. Sayla, have you been able to connect?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can indeed. Good morning, and please proceed with your remarks.
Good morning. My name is Sayla Reinders. I'm a junior at MSU and an organizer with Students Demand Action on campus. Last week, my friend Maya and I created a survey to gauge student opinion on the reopening of Berkey Hall because we found out that there would be no hybrid or Zoom option for students with classes there. We were extremely upset by the lack of consultation by MSU with the student body regarding the reopening. Our survey received 592 responses, and 77.2% of respondents said that they do not think that Berkey should reopen for classes for the spring semester. 10.1% said they are not sure, and 12.7% said that it should reopen for classes. Additionally, when asked if the school consulted their feelings about the reopening, 97.6% of respondents answered that they were not consulted. This was extremely frustrating to hear because decisions like these should be rooted in the experiences of survivors and those affected. While some students have expressed that they are ready for the building to reopen for their own healing, Many of those students also indicated that returning to Berkey Hall should be a choice. Healing does not look the same for everyone, and the university should be supportive of everyone's journey. After the shooting at Virginia Tech, the university waited 2 years to reopen Norris Hall, and they renovated the building. While the response to mass shootings is incredibly community-dependent, I think that we can look to other schools for guidance. I believe our university should take a similar approach to Virginia Tech and wait to reopen the building while renovating it in the process. Before I take the rest of my time to read what students shared in their survey responses, I want to encourage each of you to read through the written responses to the survey that has been shared with you. It is heartbreaking to hear the effect that the reopening is having on students, and I ask you to reconsider offering a hybrid or Zoom option for classes in Berkey next semester or not opening the hall at all. Here are some responses from students. Thinking about going to class there has kept me up at night. It made me sick to my stomach, honestly. Being back in North Campus in general makes me weary. Disappointment. I understand some people can jump back into things after tragedy, but I feel for those who aren't ready. I had a panic attack because for some of my classes, there was no other option. The university may be ready to clear the slate and move on from this, but students are not. Shocked, terrified, worried. I was honestly really disappointed and scared. I was in Berkey Hall on February 13th, and I'm still dealing with PTSD from that day. I believe that the spring semester will be especially hard for many students as they will revisit feelings of guilt, fear, and overall sadness as we approach the one-year mark. I think they should have given it another semester. It hasn't even been 1 year. Walking by Berkey gives me so much anxiety and a rush of emotions as I just relive that day over and over in my head. The thought of a class in Berkey terrifies me, and I dread my classes that don't have a room assignment yet. I'm absolutely mortified to go to my class in Berkey next semester. It is two classrooms away from where things happened, meaning every day I will have to walk past the class and imagine the horrific things that happened. I'm not ready and do not feel my teachers will support me when I'm unable to come to class due to the panic attacks it will cause me.
Thank you, Sailor, for your remarks. Addison Coletz is our next speaker, followed by Amber Olguin. Addison, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. Please proceed.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Addison Coletz, and I am a leader with the student organization Student Demand Action. Our goal on MSU's campus is to end the gun violence epidemic and ultimately keep students and the rest of the Lansing community safer. Not only am I a third-year student at Michigan State and a second-generation Spartan, I am also a gun violence survivor. This past year, on February 13th, was not my first experience with gun violence, but next semester will be the first time I and other students will be forced to gather and learn in the same building where our peers were murdered less than a year ago. As a student advocate, we have made it our responsibility to ensure the student body are heard and prioritized. With the reopening of Berkey next year, it is clear the Board of Trustees has failed to take students into consideration with this decision. With the news of Berkey reopening, my co-leader, Sailor Reinders, and Maya Manuel, founder of Sit Down MSU, create a survey for students to share their thoughts about returning. As we encourage you to read the survey more in-depthly, here are some responses from students. I just found out about Berkey reopening through the survey, and it made my stomach drop, and I almost threw up. I have a required class in that building next semester, and I'm still too afraid to go in. Making students go to class in Berkey so shortly after this tragedy by no means embodies the high ethical standards MSU claims to abide by. It is clear that students across campus are deeply concerned that not only will Berkey be open so quickly, but the carelessness justified by the board also profoundly undermines the students of MSU and the policies the university claims to support. Becoming a student activist and highly involved with on-campus events, both Sailor and I and many others involved treat the safety of our peers and our community as a full-time job. I urge you to consider our request and fulfill your elected duties as a member of the board by empathizing with the student experience and prioritizing ethical values in your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Addison. Our next speaker is Amber Olguin, followed by Cassidy Howard. Amber, good morning.
Hello. My name is Amber Olguin, and I am an Interdisciplinary Studies and Social Science student, and I'm the College of Social Science Dean Student Advisory Council, or DSAC, as well as an e-board member for the Council of Students with Disabilities, CSD. although I'm representing neither group this morning, only drawing on my experiences in them. Berkey Hall should not open this semester. Berkey is home to the College of Social Science, and it has been documented across several social sciences that students cannot learn when they feel unsafe, and that is harmful in the long run to overall well-being and health to force people into stressful, re-traumatizing situations, especially those with less buffers to stress, such as in oppressed groups and those with pre-existing conditions. In DSAC, we have preferably called for online and hybrid options based both on our own readiness and our peers, as is our duty in that council. I have met individually with college administration on this issue as well. We have been told that faculty are understanding but are not being provided with the resources necessary to accommodate mandatory online offerings. An RCVD specialist confirmed to me that across universities, online options are the most difficult accommodation to approve. Hearing all of this, CSD's ASMSU representative wrote a bill that unanimously passed calling for online and hybrid options in Berkey and the Union this spring, citing the difficulties faced by many in accessing diagnosis and accommodations for PTSD in a timely manner. I am lucky that due to an accommodation for an unrelated reason that my class in Berkey was relocated, others are not. Personally, I have faced panic attacks and trauma responses in response to the shooting on February 13th and do not think that it will be conducive to learning for it to open. I understand that there's logistical problems with it being closed, but we are not ready. We might be smart and strong, but that does not mean we are unbreakable. Thank you.
Thank you, Amber. Our next speaker is Cassidy Howard, followed by Charlotte Plotsky. Cassidy, are you on the Zoom?
I am. Can you hear me all right?
We can indeed. Please proceed with your remarks.
Hello and good morning. My name is Cassidy Howard, and I'm a sophomore in journalism here. I would love to believe that telling you not to open Berkey Hall would do anything because our school was the site of a tragedy less than a year ago, and yet you are expecting the friends and classmates of murdered students to go back to the site with next to no complaints. But recognizing the revenue brought in by this building, I know asking for us to be prioritized over your budget is not what you want to hear, nor is it likely what you will listen to. So instead, I'm asking what happened to the $500,000 put aside from the $2 million donated to the Spartan Strong Fund that was set to be dedicated towards mental health. The original release said that we would receive information soon, and 8 months later, there is still a complete lack of communication. There is a mental health crisis on this campus as a result of the shooting, and you are not doing near what you believe that you are. You preach that you tell us that you are doing so much about mental health, and yet there are next to no resources. If you are expecting us to go back into Berkey, then you have to be equipped for the mental toll that that will take. And I am letting you know that you are not equipped at all, because you are not even handling the current tolls. We are directed to CAPS for every issue, despite CAPS telling us that they are likewise, quote unquote, not equipped to handle trauma. Following the events of February, I was left alone to handle a friend actively struggling with self-harm because CAPS was of no use. We had to rely on a parent an hour off of campus to help us because nothing on your campus did. I recognize fully that this is a business and that more class spaces will assist revenue, but when we begin to fail classes because of being unable to keep up with the mental burden without your support, that will hurt your revenue infinitely more than opening this building helps. I used to believe you saw my classmates and I as walking dollar signs, but seeing as your pockets weighing a fraction less causes you more suffering than our pain, I know that that's not the truth. We are still processing. We are still healing. Some are just starting to heal. I cannot stress enough that we are not getting the support needed as it is, let alone the support that would be needed when this hall reopens. Would you be willing to move your offices into that building to face those classes every day? If your desk could be placed where my classmates' blood was on the floor, how would you feel? There are low-cost ways to help support us. I have done the research, and I will gladly speak to anyone who would like information. Again, my name is Cassidy Howard, but it is 10 months later, and I am still slowly watching my friends and my classmates die because of February the 13th. I cannot lose anybody else. The Spartan community cannot lose anybody else. You can keep us from losing anybody else. Do better. Be better. Help us. Thank you.
Cassidy, thank you for your remarks. Our next speaker is Charlotte Plotsky, followed by Michael Balow. Charlotte, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Morning.
So my name is Charlotte Plotsky. I am a senior communication and music double major. I'm here today to call the Board of Trustees to divest their funds from Israel and weapons manufacturers due to the genocide happening in Palestine. MSU owes it to protect their students in the minority and protect Palestinians, protect Jewish people, and protect people of color on this campus. And I am a white cisgender woman, and I see how they are treated, and it absolutely breaks my heart. I am calling you to listen to them, to meet with them, to follow up with them, and to stop funding genocide. And my next point is to not reopen Berkey Hall. I have had to miss class this semester because of panic attacks, and I don't even go into Berkey Hall. I had a class in Wells, and I heard about the Maryland shooting, and I had to take like 2 days off of school because of the mental turmoil it causes me. Gun violence is seemingly never ending in this country. So even if there, which isn't going to happen, but even if there were no more shootings ever, being in Berkey Hall is just too, it's too much. It is too much, and it is too soon. Again, people were murdered there, murdered, not even like just 10 months ago. There is no reason that we should be forced to go to class there. I all already believe that being forced to go to class on this campus is ableist, but having it in that building, is absolutely, absolutely absurd. And I am so disappointed that it has come to this, for us begging you not to have class there. We had classes online for over a year and a half due to the COVID pandemic. There are ways to allocate and to accommodate for your students. Your students are begging you not to do this. So please, please, please do not force kids to go to class in Berkey Hall. I yield my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charlotte. Our next speaker is Michael Balogh, followed by Kayla Williams. Mike, are you on the Zoom? Mike, are you with us? Okay.
Oh, you just unmuted me. Are we good?
Yep. We hear you now, Mike. Please proceed.
I'd like to begin by thanking the board for completing the recent presidential hire. Incoming President Guskovich seems well qualified and is certainly coming into this with his eyes wide open. I wonder if he's listening right now. I can now see a path forward to a better future for MSU in 2024, but only if we continue to push for openness and honesty. So why are we meeting remotely today? There are only 7 official meetings per year. Is it because some of you don't want to face those who may be critical of you? Are we afraid of too many students showing up? Is this the quote-unquote mob as labeled by Dr. Jack Lipton? Come on now. I'm speaking to all the voters in the state of Michigan today and the millions of people in our state who love this university. Make sure you elect trustees who stand for the truth. I hope after my comments you have no doubt as to where I stand. For the last several years, MSU has stood alone in its denial of justice. People often bring up the sexual assault scandals at U of M and Penn State, but those universities did not come close to MSU's denial, deflection, and distortion of the truth. I'd like to thank Chair Vassar for providing the much needed leadership to get this done, and Trustee Dennis Denno for having the courage to make a motion in October to release the documents. Thanks to Dr. Rima, MSU has taken a major step forward. In the 4 years under Chair Byram's leadership, this board repeatedly denied and worked against releasing the documents. The survivors who have fought so hard for this are the true heroes. When everyone else forgot about this, they kept pushing for what was right, at great personal cost to themselves, because it's not something that lives in the past for them. They continue to suffer from MSU's abandonment of justice in their case. And not only is it a very current issue for them, it's a current issue for MSU. By doing this, they're helping others by taking another step to ensure MSU is a safe campus. Someday, I hope there's a monument to their courage on this campus to make it harder for people to conveniently forget. But let's be clear. We see a unanimous vote today, but was it really unanimous? Brianna Scott, what she said in October versus her email from April, where she very tearfully claimed, among other things, that she never voted to suppress the Nassar documents. But a quote from her email to the board in April says to Trustee Kelly, who was on the Audit and Risk Committee, from Brianna Scott, what I'm concerned about is that you indicated in this email that you and Trustee Vassar decided to put this issue on the agenda for a vote Friday. Or am I reading your email wrong? If not, When and why was that decision made? The majority of the board indicated very clearly on Monday that we were not in agreement with releasing the privileged documents. Not once was the board asked if we wished for this to go to a vote, nor is it productive to do so. Moreover, the board overwhelmingly didn't approve a statement being made on behalf of the board other than no comment. So I'd like an answer, that's unquote, what changed between April and now, particularly since Scott signed an affidavit on October 27th of 23 that said no discussions on votes were taken at the April 17th meeting. You know, the truth is out there, it's under the surface, and more needs to come out. But I really appreciate the trustees that had the courage to release the documents today. Thank you.
Mike, thank you. Our next speaker is Kayla Williams, followed by Maisha Brown. Kayla, have you been able to join us? Kayla, if you're there, you might be on mute. Okay, we will move on for now and potentially come back. Maisha Brown, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Maisha, and please proceed with your comments.
Hi, good morning. Again, my name is Maisha Brown, and I am a proud MSU alum graduating with a BA in Social Relations from James Madison College in 1995. My beloved MSU has been marred by several scandals in recent years. When Trustee Scott shared she was considering running for a position on the board, she had my full support. We met on campus during our pursuit of membership in Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. We have known each other for the past 28 years, and she has been a loyal friend, sister, and so much more. She is a highly regarded lawyer, community leader, and dedicated MSU board trustee. Her decision to run for trustee was thoughtful and intentional. Trustee Scott has demonstrated exceptional qualities of honesty and integrity throughout our friendship, her professional career, and service in the community. She believed she could make a difference because of her wealth of legal expertise, strategic insight, commitment to ethical practices, and her love for the university. Because of our relationship, I know her decision to bring forth these allegations was not made impulsively and was the result of careful analysis and reflection. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, the time is always right to do what is right. Trustee Scott did the hard thing by bringing to light these behaviors and practices that have been harmful to the board, their ability to conduct business, and their integrity as a unit. Unfortunately, her openness and transparency has inadvertently exposed her to unwarranted attention and harassment, where she has been verbally attacked, questioning her Blackness and her commitment to the MSU community. Trustees are elected officials entrusted to handle the business of the university and do it with integrity and transparency. Once this investigation has concluded, it is my hope that the board will do the right thing and allow the findings to be public. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Donna Pennington, followed by Jonathan Kinlock. Donna, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Donna, and please proceed with your remarks.
Thank you. I'm speaking to you this morning in support of Trustee Brianna Scott as a double alumna of MSU and on behalf of her former campaign committee and the Progressive Democratic Women's Caucus of Muskegon County, all of whom worked very hard to send one of our best and brightest to MSU 5 years ago in the aftermath of the Larry Nassar scandal. We sent her to East Lansing to do the right thing to get MSU back on course, to be brave, to be legally sound, to be ethical, and to advocate for our values. We are so proud that Trustee Scott is doing just what we hoped and believed she would do. uphold the highest legal and ethical standards for the MSU Board of Trustees to address any harmful behavior or wrongdoing, and to fulfill the commitment that this board has made, and I quote, to be more aware and be more responsible. In the light of this commitment that is stated on the board's own website, any unethical behavior or any overreaching of the authority of the board or the chair must be rigorously addressed. Similarly, any effort by the chair or any trustee to intimidate or silence anyone is deeply concerning. It was this very failure of leadership to address reports of inappropriate behavior and conduct that got us to this place we are. A culture of accountability is needed. Please base your actions on the facts and results of the investigation and not on emotion and opinion. It is hard to believe that there is any corroboration of the allegations against Dr. Vassar that this board would not move to remove her as chair. Finally, I would like to thank Trustee Scott for being the kind of trustee we hoped she would be, to speak out in the face of any suspicion or evidence of wrongdoing. The effort to characterize you, Brianna, as racially insensitive or racist is outrageous. I ask the other trustees to support Trustee Scott's efforts and act decisively to restore and preserve the integrity of the MSU Board of Trustees. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Anna, thank you very much. Before we proceed, I've been informed by our RIT team that Kayla Williams, I think the technical issues are a fix. So, Kayla, I'm hoping that you are able to hear us now.
I can hear you. Can you hear me is the question?
yeah, 100%. We're all set. Okay. Please proceed.
Wow, an engineer who can't figure out how to get Bluetooth audio to work. That's embarrassing. Okay. Well, if you told me 3 years ago I'd become a regular attendee at MSU Board of Trustees meetings, I would have been horrified as I contemplated the reason someone would be predicting this fate. After all, I'm not particularly predisposed towards activism or politics. But then you cut the swim and dive teams in 2020, adding insult to injury to many student athletes amid the already challenging conditions of the COVID pandemic. The Battle for Spartan Swim and Dive group was then formed, and my hope was renewed as I saw the numerous different people step up to explore how we could reverse this decision. I'd like to briefly summarize some of our learnings and accomplishments that enabled by the investment in the upcoming Student Health and Wellness Center. I've shared data supporting the following claims at different times in the last 2 years, and I'm happy to share it again for those who are interested if you haven't had a chance to see it. Some of the key points were the high school swim and dive All-American data supports the claim that high school students in Michigan value swimming and diving at a rate higher than the population of the state would lead them to achieve just by chance. They fall into the top five for swimming on a population adjusted basis and outright in the top five nationally for boys and girls in diving. MSU's own facility use data supports our argument that the new facility as is can more than accommodate sharing lanes to support a swim and dive team without any limitations to providing improved programming for students. A key assumption in this is that the three existing indoor pools would be closed in time. Even the removal of these facilities doesn't negatively change the available lane time for students in the new facility. This reinstatement effort has tapped into support from a broad group, including former swim and dive alumni, MSU alumni, community members, national experts, and high school athletes aspiring to next level competition options within the state of Michigan. We've identified $5 million that could be used to help offset the financial aspect of the return of these programs and commitment of both our group and national experts in this field to support the university in enacting a plan the athletic department already has drafted in the event the return of these programs is supported. We look forward to exploring the potential that exists enabled by the commitment to a new recreation facility pool. I realize the board has dealt with a lot of varied feedback and challenges recently. I'm optimistic that releasing the Nassar documents to the AG is a step forward to healing for the MSU community. In all our interactions, I've always also considered Dr. Vassar to be a caring individual concerned with the best interests of MSU and the students here, and I'd like to thank her for her leadership thus far. In closing, I'd like to suggest that we should all aspire to expand the offerings that MSU can provide to their students rather than eliminating opportunities. Falling back in the position that reinstatement of swim and dive is too difficult to be bothered with is counter to Spartans' will. There are many benefits that reinstatement can bring, and we look forward to articulating those to MSU's leadership. MSU, you've taught us well. We look forward to future interactions because we're not going anywhere. Thank you.
Taylor, thank you so much. Our next speaker is Jonathan Kinlock, followed by Paulette Walker. However, I don't believe that Jonathan has joined us at this stage, so we will move to Paulette Walker. Paulette, are you with us? And Paulette, if you you may be on mute. Okay, we will we'll sort of move on for now. Our next speaker is Denise Young, followed by Latasha Gary. Denise, can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, Denise. Please feel free to proceed with public comment.
Again, my name is Denise Young. I'm a 1996 graduate of Eli Broad College of Business and a 1999 graduate of the what used to be the Detroit College of the Law at Michigan State, which is now the Michigan State Law School. I'm also a Black woman, and I'm here in support of Breonna Scott. I've known Breonna for almost 30 years, and I'm here to speak to her character. Breonna has always been a woman of integrity and dignity, and her treatment lately for her attempts to shed light on the darkness that has been going on within the Board of Trustees, frankly, has been reprehensible. I think the only focus should be on finding the truth. The focus, there's been way too much emphasis on Black and white. This is not a racial issue. This is a truth issue. And Breonna is only standing up for what she believes is to be right. I applaud her for speaking truth to power. Two things can be true at once. Rima can be a Black woman, and she can also do wrong. And the end goal should be to find out whether or not she committed a wrong. So again, the focus should not be on race. It should be on finding the truth. So I stand with Breonna, and I hope that the MSU board will continue to investigate and seek the truth. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Denise. We will next go to, I think Paulette Walker may be on if I am looking correctly. So let's see, Paulette, have you joined us? Yeah, there still might be a couple of technical challenges, so we will.
Can you hear me now?
Paulette, I had a bad notion of me hearing myself. So, yes, you are on, and yes, please proceed with your 3 minutes of public comment. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I have been on all the time. I'm not sure if everybody could have heard me. However, I am, like I said, my name is Paulette Walker. I am a graduate of Michigan State from 1965 to 1969. I graduated in 1969. I too am speaking on behalf of Breonna Scott to say that two things. One, this is not a racial issue. It is not about a Black woman versus a Black woman. It is not, by all means, definitely not a sorority issue. As the 25th national president of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, please do not include Delta Sigma Theta Sorority in any conversation that anybody has. This is not a sorority issue, and nor is it a racial issue. It is, in fact, a trustee issue and one that should be handled as one trustee to another trustee. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. I truly appreciate it. But again, it is neither a racial issue nor is it a sorority issue. Thank you so much again. Thank you.
Thank you, Paulette. Much appreciated. Our next speaker is Latasha Gary, followed by Tamara Sanford. Latasha, are you with us on the Zoom?
I am. Thank you very much.
Morning.
My name is Latasha Gary. I'm an alumni of MSU, class of 96. I'm currently a licensed professional counselor and wanted to address the board today. I've been watching the events unfold with what started as really just mere disappointment, but now has turned to disgust. And what I'm specifically disappointed in is the vitriol and condemnation that I've seen directed toward Trustee Brianna Scott for simply bringing an issue to light that could have very adversely affected our university. I think that what has happened is that the issue has gotten marred now by this race issue. Generally, those who do not have a case will have to rely on something that is other than what was brought up in the argument. And what has been brought up was something very serious. And if we had not brought it up, if Brianna had not taken the time to bring it up and been transparent, a news article could have written it, another university could have written it, someone else could have brought it up, and we could have been in really dire circumstances as a university. I personally know Brianna Scott and know her to be one who has always sought after the truth. She has always gone after, like a pit bull, to seek what is the truth and how can we act in the best and most upright manner. And so this does not surprise me that she was the one that brought these allegations to light. I'm actually ashamed that more board members have not applauded her willingness to bring transparency to the situation and have not publicly stood up for her and said that this is not right. I saw a video that showed people literally protesting outside of her establishment, but not against the person who the allegation was brought against, which I found very unusual. I won't say why I think that might have occurred, but I don't think that that was on the part of the people who were standing in front of that building. I hope that the silence does not indicate that the board is unwilling to share publicly what has gone on, and when the investigation is finalized, that the report is not shared broadly so that the allegations can be handled appropriately. I thank you all for your time. I just simply wanted to stand for someone who I saw standing for the truth, and I had to take this time to do that. Thank you so much for your listening.
Natasha, thank you very much for your comments. Our next speaker is Tamara Sanford, followed by Marty Vanderplow. Tamara, can you hear me?
Yes, can you all hear me?
We can indeed. Good morning, Tamara, and please proceed.
Thank you so much. Hello and good morning. My name is Tamara Sanford, and I'm a Michigan State alumni. I graduated in 1996 with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Journalism and Education. I'm here to speak on behalf of Trustee Brianna Scott. I've known Trustee Scott for almost 30 years. She is one of the most genuine, honest, and trustworthy people I know, and she has very, very high integrity. Another trustee that's currently under investigation has started a smear campaign against her as a form of bullying. Trustee Scott, for what is doing what's right and asking questions that others were afraid to ask. This disgraced trustee is trying to make this a black thing when it boils down to really doing the right thing. This power-hungry trustee has referred to MSU as a mom-and-pop shop, and as an alumni, I take offense to her antics. As a graduate of Michigan State University, I can't sit by and allow unethical people to hold a position of power. Vassar needs to resign. The board needs to revisit the code of conduct and uphold it with a zero tolerance policy, especially when it comes to defamation and bullying of another trustee. As an alumni, I ask, once this investigation against Vassar is over, that the findings are made public. Let the truth be known. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tamara. Our next speaker is Marty Vanderflau, followed by Candace Montgomery. Marty, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can indeed. Good morning, and please proceed with your public comment.
Good morning, and thank you, Stefan. I'm an alumni, donor, and recent member of the MSU Presidential Search Committee. I have only recently become engaged with the university community, and therefore I bring an outsider's point of view. During the search process, I was able to talk with numerous people across the university community. I have no agenda other than seeing the university I love recover from recent events and continue being a great public university. My primary observation is that there is a systemic lack of trust between the MSU community and the Board of Trustees. A common theme I encountered was a perceived lack of transparency. There was also a consistent concern about board overreach. Finally, and most concerning, was the reluctance of some to voice their concerns for fear of reprisal. In my opinion, the top priority for the Board of Trustees is to rebuild the trust of the MSU community. This will likely require very significant change. In my experience with boards, situations arise that need to be dealt with in a public setting and often require outside intervention. Obviously, Trustee Scott felt that this was the case to the extent that she opened herself up to intense public criticism and alienation. I applaud her courage and commitment to Michigan State University. Moving forward, it is very important that we treat the investigation process fairly and do not pass judgment until the investigation brings the facts to light. I believe that the results of this investigation must be made public. My hope is that the trustees hold each other accountable and step up and make whatever changes are necessary for the good of the university and ultimately for the good of the students. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty. Our next speaker is Candace Montgomery, followed by Hadil Ross. Candace?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can indeed. Good morning, and please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone. My name is Candace Montgomery. I'm more affectionately known by Dr. Can-Can, by Trustee Vassar, which is who I'm speaking on behalf of today. I'm honored to have the opportunity to be speaking here. I first had the honor of meeting Trustee Vassar in 2019, where her and Dr. Clyde Barnett came to my high school, and I was picked out with a handful of other students to form a group called the Student Plug, which changed the remaining course of my high school experience. Dr. Raymond has given me so many opportunities to speak on and educate others about the system as she did me, but most importantly, she made me an expert on the topic of anti-Blackness, which is why I am sitting here speaking to you all today. I will not hesitate to speak on her behalf because she has done nothing but speak on mine. To Trustee Brianna Scott, I am so sorry that you cannot see the fact that you are being used as a vessel of anti-Blackness. I have read through the reports, I have watched the videos and the interviews, I have read every single article that is doing exactly what the media does best, villainizing Black women. Now, Trustee Scott, I did see a quote of you once stating that you believe Dr. Randall was going to lead you all extraordinarily into this next phase as you all go into some very important decision-making with the new presidential search and other things coming up. And now that you have masterminds who are white behind you, does that statement no longer stand? Are you so clouded by the judgment and opinions of your white colleagues and superiors that you have truly begun to believe that Dr. Rama is a bully? Do you sit here and not think twice about how 7 articles could be written using very intentional language to describe her as aggressive, as an aggressive person? Our Governor Gretchen Whitmer and our Senator Debbie Stabenow took the time out of their very busy schedules to comment on this matter, but they have not been able to take the time out of their schedules to address the low graduation rates for Black students at MSU, and yet you still give crocodile tears and cannot recognize that you are being used as a shield for them to hide behind, a pawn whose purpose is to protect them from the anti-Blackness allegations. The lack of solidarity in this situation is disheartening, and I want to make it known that they would turn around and do the same thing to you in a heartbeat. The minute that you step outside of the comfort zone of what a Black woman in a position of power should be doing. I see all the students who have turned up on her behalf, and I am now proud to be one of them. I find it interesting that a big part of the letter requesting for Dr. Rainer's removal was based off of ethical violations, yet the many scandals that MSU has had recently and how they were handled have not been called into play. There is no such thing as having a good ethical compass when you are part of upholding the white supremacy and maintaining a space with so little diversity. And yet Dr. Rainer's ethics and morals are being called into play because she dared to disagree with the board and step outside the guidelines that they place for Black women. I am so very proud of her for standing her ground, and I will come back to defend her as many times as I need to, as many times as my voice is needed, and as many times as my voice can make a difference. I hope you all take something away from my brief statement and rethink this very planned out and targeted decision and strategy. Thank you.
Thank you, Candace. Our next speaker is Hadil Ross, followed by Ava Anderson. Hadil, can you hear us?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hadil, good morning, and please proceed.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As an Arab student at MSU, this university is acting directly against my interests by investing in weapons manufacturers that fund the genocidal state of Israel. Annually, MSU invests $479,006 in Lockheed Martin Corporation, $256,459 in Northrop Grumman, $2,050,686 in Boeing. These corporations have profited off the murder of 23,000 innocent Palestinians. For reference, that is larger than the capacity of the Breslin Center, which is 15,000 people. Take a moment and envision the entire Breslin Center full of people and add 8,000 more people to that. Now envision all of those people dead. By investing in these weapons corporations, MSU profits off of the massacre that you just envisioned. What I have come to learn during my time here at MSU is that this university is firstly a business that prioritizes profits over everything else. MSU's responsibilities as an academic institution come secondary to profits. But what the board fails to understand is that a university requires students to be a university. Recently, my friend texted me, telling me she is considering pursuing a master's degree at MSU and asked for my opinion of the university. Without hesitation, I told her to avoid MSU at all costs. I told her to attend a university where the administration actually cares about the demands of their students. I told her that this university breeds colonial ideals, meaning hate, white supremacy, and cultural intolerance. It is absolutely repulsive that MSU is spending $38 million on a multicultural center to represent culturally diverse students while simultaneously funding the colonization and brutal genocide of indigenous people worldwide. If you really cared about cultural representation, you would use that $38 million to empower and protect students of color. Building a cultural showcase does nothing to uplift students of those cultures. It only serves to mask your institutional racism. But don't worry, we will make sure to post flyers of MSU's support for indigenous slaughter next to the exhibits. Like many white colonial institutions, MSU wears ethnic diversity as a badge of honor, specifically choosing students of color to post advertisements with so everyone can see what inclusive university this is. But that is the full extent of MSU's inclusivity. Just a photo on the cover of a pamphlet. Students of color are nothing but marketing tools used to bring in more profits. An MSU student was murdered in Gaza, Tariq Thabit, and you funded his killing. Not even in your own student's murder will you call for a ceasefire. How disgusting and shameful. I demand that MSU decolonize itself from the inside out. This means MSU divests all of its investments from weapons manufacturers that kill indigenous Palestinians abroad. I also demand that every inch of MSU land that has been torn from the indigenous Anishinaabeg tribe be immediately returned to its rightful community. You can use the money you divest from Israel to pay rent to the Anishinaabeg tribe. I demand that MSU invest in decolonization efforts globally, including the Palestinian Children's Relief Fund and the Free Palestine Movement. I also demand that MSU invest in debunking misinformation on this campus. This is an institution of education, so do your job and educate. Thank you.
Neil, thank you. Our next speaker is Ava Anderson, followed by Shiv Singh. Ava, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can indeed. Good morning, Ava, and please proceed with your remarks.
Thank you. I'm a white transgender social work master's student here at Michigan State. I'm also a resident of East Lansing. I wanted to add to the previous speaker's comments and bring up the precedent that has been set by the Board of Trustees Michigan State University was one of the first universities to divest from South African apartheid in 1978 to 1980. They sold $8.5 million of stock in 13 different companies. So we know that the Board of Trustees is responsible for the investments, and we know that MSU is profiting from genocide. This rings in our heads after every statement that you make about hate has no home here, and we profit from genocide. Spartans will profit from genocide. We support our students, and we profit from genocide. Something that's happening in Israel right now, as Israel has made clear that they intend to settle Gaza, commit genocide so that they can take over that land. There's the question of how can you have a holy land on a mass grave? How can you build a safe place for your children on the graves of other children? We know that Michigan State University is an educational institution that is on stolen land. You call this the Pioneer Land Grant Institution. We call it for what it is, the Morrill Act, the Homestead Act, Treaty of Saginaw. They're colonialist genocidal land grabs, which then raises the question, what is education provided by a war machine? What is trauma-informed care provided by a war machine? What is DEI provided by a war machine? What are the root causes of school shootings in a war machine? Next, in my last minute, I wanted to bring up one aspect of coloniality that I noticed in the last few hours as so many of us come to the Board of Trustees presenting these issues, demanding that you do something of them. Colonial power structures love to consolidate power at the very top. We know that the Board of Trustees are probably feeling right now this is too much, they can't handle it. That is by design, and we understand that. The lack of trust for students in this institution is baffling. So I urge the administration to do everything possible to decentralize power. There are a lot of ideas that have been brought up in these meetings. I stand in solidarity with the survivors of Nasser, with Joshua, who spoke about the difficulty receiving HIV care. I actually work at Lansing Area AIDS Network, which can be a resource for your institution. Thank you.
Hey, Ava, thank you for your remarks. Our next speaker is Shiv Singh. Shiv, are you on the Zoom?
Yes, I am. Could you hear me?
Yes, we can. Good morning, and please proceed with your comments.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Let me take this opportunity to thank you all for your service. And this institution has been in a news for all the wrong reasons, even though in the past this was led by some of the legendary leaders like John Hanna from Peter McPherson, but after him, I think we have fallen off. And to you, the trustees, I want to say, just as the oceans remains undisturbed by the nonstop flow of waters from rivers merging into it, likewise the leaders who remain steadfast amidst the surrounding external clamor achieve resolute outcomes and not the ones who strive to satisfy their desires. So please keep that in mind. Honorable trustees, the reason I want to talk to you about today is one of the issues which is very important to Indian American community, and that is the issue of Dr. Sanjay Gupta. His honor, respect, and dignity was ruined by an email and some bogus investigation. And I have privileged to know him for last 10 years, and I have served with him many times. He exemplifies the highest ethical standards and always show his utmost integrity in all situations. He played a pivotal role in establishing your business school, and he was not treated well. So I would say he deserved better, and he deserves better. And I would say about him that it is better to live your own destiny imperfectly than to live an imitation of somebody else's life with perfection. So you have the right to work, but never to the fruit of work. You should never engage in action for the sake of reward, or nor should you long for an action. So Dr. Gupta, he embodies these virtues in his personal and professional life. In the end, I would like to say to you that you have been elected and some are appointed as the custodians of this great institution. It is your duty to uphold what is just and restore the honor and dignity of Dr. Dean Gupta by reinstating him to his position. It is never too late to do the right thing, and you have the power to do that right thing. You know, you have the right to perform your prescribed duties, but you are not entitled to the fruit of your actions. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results for your activities, nor the test to the inaction. So please do the right thing. You have the power, and start with the clean slate and give the better environment for our upcoming president. I thank you for your time, and I know you're going to do the right thing.
Shiv, thank you so much. Our final commenter, I understand Angelica Martinez McGee has resolved her technical issues from earlier. So, Angelica, I believe you, are you with us?
Hello.
Yes, good morning. I think you've resolved the technical difficulties now. So if you'd like to proceed with your public comment, that would be fine.
Yes, I hear you now. Okay. Thank you. Hello, my name is Angelica Martinez McGee. I am a sister survivor, and I'm here with my sisters to use our voices and faith to stand up for justice. Today is a day that we have been dreaming of for the last 5 years. I want to take a moment to thank God and his son, Jesus, for showing us the straight path, delivering us to this moment. The one thing I had prepared for today is a symbolic gesture. Over the weekend, I found a Bible, small, unused, and containing the New Testament, Proverbs, and Psalms. Starting today, I will be reading all 633 pages over the next months. This is a deliberate use of my faith as a tool as we approach the future. As the future passes, I will bear witness to the words and actions of MSU and the Board of Trustees, and I'll continue to ask our Lord, is this the justice you have promised us? How much harder will the 27 and supporters have to fight to even read these release documents? With a unanimous yes vote from the board, you would think not much. But then I heard the voices and cries of MSU students and alumni. I listened to every speaker today, and I asked the Lord, what does the future hold for them? A 5-year waiting period and then justice? No, I know my God. To the Board of Trustees, no matter how hard you fight every scandal, you must remember that you cannot hide the truth and you cannot escape justice. To every student, faculty, and victim, remember these words. My faith is fighting for you, and God will deliver you just as he has delivered us. I end with these words, shalom, shalom, which means perfect peace, and I now dedicate the remaining time to our sisters who have struggled with depression, suicide, and the victims of the MSU shooting. Thank you for the time.
Angelica, thank you very much. I do want to thank the IT team and my colleague Jackie Vandenbosch for their help managing the lengthy public comment this morning. And Interim President Woodruff, that concludes a public comment on items not germane to the agenda.
Thank you, Board Secretary Fletcher. I now call upon Chairperson Rima Vassar to present the liaison report, Chairperson's report, and trustee comments.
Good afternoon. We will have our students
give their student liaison reports, starting with ASMSU. Emily?
Hi, everyone. Is my audio all good to go? All right, perfect. For those of you I have not had the privilege of meeting yet, my name is Emily Hoyempa, and I'm the ASMSU and MSU undergraduate student body president. A lot has changed since we were all together, so here are some updates on my end. Also, I'm getting a little sick, so don't mind my voice. As we wrap up the semester, ASMSU has passed 42 bills and continued collaborating with numerous administrators. We continue to work with VP Lynch on campus safety and ensuring Alex, Ariel, and Brian are remembered in justice and healing. Next, we are continuing to work with Dr. Travis and CAPS on student mental health and pushing those resources out to more Spartans. With that, ASMSU is also continuing to work with VP Bruglis to work on Title IX, RVSM, OCR reporting, and ADP hate speech, as well as making sure those resources to report and call out injustices on this campus are more accessible than they are right now. And last but not least, ASMSU has been meeting with Interim Provost Yetsko and Interim President Woodruff for student concerns in and outside the classroom. With all that being said, ASMSU has had quite the semester. However, we love the work we do and want to continue this work for all Spartans, and will continue to do so alongside other university stakeholders and partners. For items pertinent to the agenda, it is years too late, but it is a step in the right direction that the Nassar documents have been released. ASMSU is grateful to the board and its members who voted in favor of releasing documents because it shows that MSU is finally taking accountability to support its survivors. Releasing the documents should not have taken this long, and I hope the board understands the damage this has inflicted on the sister survivors and has now offered a path of healing. I would also like to uplift a couple of student voices regarding the reopening of Berkey Hall. No student should feel pressured to return to class if they are uncomfortable, and I wanted to share some of the thoughts that people have told me. A friend of mine, a history major in the College of Social Science, has three classes in Berkey Hall next semester that are only being offered in Berkey, and that there was no communication from the university gauging how students felt about this return. Something that was said to me was, if I had the opportunity to do so, I would switch my classes and make sure I do not have classes in Berkey until I'm ready to. I think a quote that best sums up this predicament is one of my professors next semester, where she said, if you are not comfortable attending classes in Berkey Hall, please consider dropping this course, rather than struggling with either mental health issues or your course grade. I think if this is the decision we have for a situation to affect the path of one's academic career, affect one's mental health, or affect one's academic success, it has to be realized that there is a problem. Along with that, one public commenter has mentioned it earlier, but the writer of ASMSU Bill 6037 to advocate for online options for classes held in buildings impacted by February 13th for the spring semester of 2024 and beyond has shared with me, for people affected by trauma, reentering triggering spaces can cause significant negative effects to their mental and physical health. As students, we put trust in our trust in you to have our safety, health, and well-being at the center of every decision you make. Reopening Berkey Hall without any support for people who are not ready is only a glaring accessibility issue, but a clear and present risk to the safety and well-being of a university as a whole. The unanimous passage of my bill should give a good indication as to how the student body truly feels about this decision. Another glaring issue MSU needs to address is how the university provides intentional support for its marginalized students and students of color. In the 2030 MSU strategic plan, MSU values the importance of diversity along with inclusivity, safety, and belonging. However, there does not seem to be any action to truly uphold these values. Our Black students have voiced the discrimination and bias they have voiced MSU administration, yet are still facing discrimination as recently as yesterday from the state news, which is completely unacceptable. The university also needs to make sure it's uplifting our Palestinian, Israeli, Arab, Muslim, and Jewish voices as anti-Semitism, anti-Arab hate, anti-Palestinian hate, and Islamophobia have been growing across the world. The lack of acknowledgement of these struggles marginalized and students of color have been facing shows that the values mentioned above are not being upheld by the board and the university as a whole. Students of all backgrounds should not be coming to me that they don't feel safe, represented, or belong at MSU. Everyone at this university needs to approach problems and concerns with an equitable lens and solution, rather than thinking they already know what's going to be best for them. Even with that, when the problems are acknowledged, no one is actually stating the lack of equity and safety already present here. So once again, do better, be better, and please simply make an effort to listen and take action rather than pawning off on the students to handle it themselves. As I said at the October board meeting, to the board and whoever else is listening, please actually listen to student leaders and those who are publicly commenting. With everything going on, people seem to forget that many here, the student leaders on this campus, are actually students first. We came here to get a degree, and once again, not to be trained in crisis management. I can only bring up so many issues and concerns, and with that, a lot of the issues I brought up are simply because my fellow Spartans do not have the representation here to do so. We have and will continue to ask for a student vote, and we will also continue to push for CORS and COPS liaison seats to board, because if you're not doing your job and representing us, who will? Last but not least, I wanted to congratulate President-elect Dr. Gustwitz as the 22nd president of MSU. I am optimistic that MSU will be entering into MSU tomorrow, and I hope the board agrees with this sentiment. As we welcome a new president to East Lansing on March 4th, I hope this is a sign that the board needs to put the drama behind them and truly work for the betterment of the MSU community. I am still a strong believer that you cannot take care of yourself or someone else, or in this place, or in this case, the university, if you cannot take care of yourself. And once again, this still holds true to the board. Having a new president provides a pathway for the board to regain trust with its stakeholders, such as the student body, and I'm truly hoping that this will be the case, which will then allow the board to actually take care of MSU. The board and the university should not be harming the university community as a whole, and I hope the board takes time to reflect on what their actions have had on the MSU community this semester. People should be worrying about making sure they graduate and enjoying their college experience, and not making a joke and dealing with every scandal that seems to throw at us every single day. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Emily. Next, we have, I think, Taylor. No, Hannah. I'm sorry. Hannah, you're next.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey, we can hear you.
Thank you so much. As the president of the Council of Graduate Students, I thought it best to acknowledge a recent piece of legislation that we have put forward for the consideration of Michigan State and for its members beyond. That being said, I would like to acknowledge that this particular piece of legislation was not sponsored by everybody. It was not a unanimous decision. However, the majority has spoken, and so we feel committed to address the issues that students have put forward for us to consider. My report is that COGS is currently planning at its next full council meeting in January to debate the endorsement of the ASMSU resolution that was previously made about the Israel-Hamas war. We are hoping to bring in Jewish student voices because we feel that they have been underrepresented in this conversation. And we feel that one of the main problems is that people are hearing different things when the same words are being said. So a different perspective being offered to this important discussion will be a key asset. Next, COGS has passed a resolution advocating for student safety and mental well-being in the wake of the war in Palestine. In this resolution, the COGS full council call upon MSU to officially release a public statement through official university channels, acknowledging the death of our fellow Spartan, Tariq Tabet, and be resolved, COGS will propose that MSU facilitate the organization of a series of talks, workshops, or events in memory of Tariq and his commitment to changing the perceptions about the people in Palestine. These activities can be targeted towards educating the participants on settler colonialism, Islamophobia, anti-Arab hate, anti-Semitism, liberation, freedom, indigenous communities, religion, etc. That being said, COGS does plan to assist MSU in such endeavors. We realize that there are a lot of problems. I think that it is very commendable that we are starting to talk about it openly. And I really just wish all of you guys the best. And I also hope that, see, when I was younger, my friends got into this really, really long argument that spanned the course of several months. And we ended up dividing into three different camps, those that were on one side, those on the other side, and those in the middle that had no opinion.
and it ended with a shouting match at our final event and it left me in tears and unable to look at my friends in the face. All I can tell you is that the only thing that really healed was time and separation. So I'm hoping that this can be a very restorative and relaxing Christmas time for us all. Kwanzaa time, Hanukkah time, etc. I know I'm missing at least one. Sorry. I want this to, I sincerely hope that this is a time when peace may take over the world and we may see the beauty again of humanity. Thank you very much, and please have a great day.
Thank you, Hannah. You always are so wise. I appreciate your words. We have next up, Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Awesome. Okay. Well, it wouldn't be a Zoom meeting if something didn't go wrong. So, of course, my camera has decided to not cooperate today. But I'm just going to go ahead and roll with it and get into my report. So, again, good morning, everyone, members of the MSU community. Really, just kind of as we get to a close in the semester, I'm not quite done with my work, unfortunately, but I wanted to kind of update everyone on how RHA has wrapped up the semester. So overall, we've had a very, very successful semester. I'm really proud of all the hard work that my team and all of our representatives in our General Assembly have been putting in to make all of this happen. We've been hosting events throughout the semester, but specifically our end of semester programming really went really, really well. We had holiday-themed crafting, a Barbenheimer marathon, and we also collaborated a lot with the Office of Spartan Experiences and the Countdown to Closeout event series. All these events went really, really well, and we have a lot planned for the spring, including another movie marathon. Those of you who are big Hunger Games fans, keep your eyes out for that. More craft events and even hosting a regional leadership summit. These things I also mentioned don't highlight all the events that our hall governments and caucuses have put on this semester and will be putting on next semester as well, hosting a huge variety of events in and around our residence halls. And we would not be nearly as effective in reaching our students without the work that they put in every week here. Another update I'm happy to share is related to our work in increasing contraceptive access and awareness on campus. We're currently working on some programming around Safer Sex Week for the spring, and are working with a few partners of ours to help make this happen. I think this is a really very relevant issue for many of our students, so we really just want to help raise awareness and help Spartans build good, healthy habits related to this. And in addition to this, we've been trying to expand emergency contraceptive access as well. I want to commend the Gender and Sexuality Campus Center for offering this service currently, and we're working to hopefully see this expanded. There are talks going on about this currently, and I'm hoping that by the time spring rolls around, I'll have some more concrete things to share on that. So I would also like to share some cautiously hopeful attitudes students have around our new incoming leadership. President-elect Guskowitz, we look forward to seeing what you bring to our university, and I want to formally welcome you to the Spartan family. In addition, Coach Smith, I'd like to extend this to you as well. I look forward to seeing what you'll do with our team and also welcome you to our family. To close out my remarks today, I just wanted to hit on again student voices. Some of my liaisons have already spoken on this, so I'll keep it somewhat brief. But students need to feel heard and they need to feel listened to, especially in this chaotic world that we've been living in, both on campus and around the world. We've heard many other voices here today and more in previous meetings and other settings around campus. We've spoken in the past and previously about ways that this board and this university can increase that they're doing this, and I really hope that we can see this come to fruition. One of the best ways you can support our students is to listen and let us be heard. And with that, that concludes my remarks. I hope everybody has a wonderful winter break.
Thank you so much, Taylor. The last speaker for our student liaisons would be Maddie Dallas.
Hello, everyone, and happy almost winter break. As I'm sure like many of you, I'm ready for a nice long break that allows me to have a lot more free time and not have to deal with some of the stress that comes with the semester. With this free time, I'm excited to be able to continue working on some of the projects I mentioned in the last Board of Trustees meeting. Starting off, I've been working on developing and creating a plan of action to begin the early stages of a leadership initiative in which student leaders will be matched with qualified mentors who have some sort of affiliation with Michigan State University. As I've mentioned before, when first bringing up this idea, student leaders are under a great deal of stress, not only just regarding the general everyday life of being a student, but also the stress that comes with having to be the shoulders in which the community they represent sits on. I've started talking with Trustee Tebe about this initiative and plan in the next steps to loop in the student life. Discrimination that has become more and more prevalent on campus. While this was a topic I've been planning to bring up anyways, in light of recent events on campus, I hope everyone really truly understands the importance in which this topic holds. MSU has multiple different methods in which students can be protected regarding issues like this, but it can be extremely hard to navigate for students. Through conversations with different students around campus, I've come to find out that students don't know where to report what. I'm currently in the beginning stages of brainstorming new ways to help with accessibility of OIE and ADP to better ensure that students feel like they get the support they deserve. Going off of this, students not only deserve to feel supported and protected on campus, but off campus as well. In the aftermath of the pandemic and how online and hybrid classes continue to be a part of the education system as a whole now, there should be a better understanding of media accountability, especially within registered student organizations. RSOs are being funded through the university and should be held to the same standards that any other individual at MSU is. At no point in time should students ever be silenced in the way they choose to use their voice, but there is a line between advocacy and causing emotional discomfort for different communities on campus. I am eager to continue thinking about and working with other people to think through different ideas that could help decrease issues regarding social media usage and exploitation. At Michigan State, we are so lucky to have such an outspoken and driven student body that isn't afraid to advocate for themselves in times where they feel as though they must. Recently, there have been a lot of issues with students feeling though their thoughts and opinions aren't heard. Students seem to be ready to come forward and start the conversation, and I think we need to focus more on what we can be doing to help give students the space to do so. Going into the next semester, my hope is to start up town halls or group thinking sessions that are advertised and open to all Michigan State students as a chance to come speak with me as the at-large student liaison, and hopefully some of you as well, as MSU admins and faculty, in hopes that it can better open the line of communication between students and the Board of Trustees. I'm hopeful that in the next semester, we'll be able to make many positive changes that can better help the student body as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Tate. Thank you, Maddie. I appreciate your comments. You all have a wonderful break. Get some rest. And we finally have our last report from Faculty Liaison and Faculty Senate, chairpersons of the Steering Committee. Jack Lipton, chairperson of the Steering Committee and Faculty Senate.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to be with you on this monumental day. The Faculty Senate joined Sister Survivors and others in calling for the board to waive privilege on the Nassar documents more than 4 years ago in November 2019. And I thank the board for authorizing their release today. It's long overdue. Regarding a meeting with President-elect Guskowitz, I'm happy to share that the at-large faculty senators had a very encouraging meeting with President-elect Kevin Guskowitz on Monday. He shared his desire to meet with faculty, staff, and student leaders, clearly delineate roles and responsibilities, and maintain mutual respect as we work to solve the challenges we have faced and advance our standing as a leading public institution. He acknowledged the recent challenges of MSU and asked for our help in overcoming them. As we did with the current and prior administration, we committed to working on a myriad of priorities to advance our academic reputation. As we did with the last two administrations, we shared the need for equity in career development across all faculty groups, be they tenure system, continuing system, health programs, or fixed term. As we did with President Stanley and Woodruff, we shared that MSU's benefits and compensation falls into the bottom quartile of Big Ten universities and that changes are needed if we are to be competitive in retention and recruitment. These are not new priorities. Regardless, we remain hopeful that the next time, the administration will be allowed to prioritize the needs of all MSU faculty and the broader MSU community. I want to talk a little bit about some governance comments, commitments that the board has made. The board recently informed faculty leaders that the trustees and president-elect Guskowitz had each co-signed a document outlining principles for governing the university and delineating which responsibilities belong to whom. This is a welcome development, and it goes a long way toward fulfilling the Faculty Senate's requests that the board engage in professional development. Nonetheless, it should be noted that the board should always have been abiding by these principles, regardless of who the president is. I appreciate Dr. Vassar's assurance to faculty liaisons at a meeting yesterday that the board does not intend to wait until Dr. Guskowitz's arrival in March to begin implementing these standards. With respect to our work with respect to the Higher Learning Commission, when I last addressed the board in October, I shared that the Faculty Senate had filed a complaint with the Higher Learning Commission, MSU's accrediting body, alleging that certain actions by the board's chairperson violated HLC criteria. Specifically, the complaint cited two portions of Criterion 2 that, quote, the governing board preserves its independence from undue influence on the part of donors, elected officials, ownership interests, or other external parties, and that, quote, governing board delegates day-to-day management of the institution to the institution's administration and expects the institution's faculty to oversee academic matters. On November 20th, the Higher Learning Commission responded, determining that the complaint, quote, raises potential concerns regarding the institution's compliance with the criteria for accreditation and indicated that it would conduct a further review of the institution. The faculty look forward to the findings of that review and of the several other investigations that are currently underway. With respect to board meetings and discourse, unlike most meetings of this body, today's session is virtual. Let's be clear. We are on Zoom today because eight officials who were elected statewide to oversee this institution were unable or unwilling to maintain basic order in the room on October 27th. Everyone who signs up to address the board is, of course, free to share their views. No one is entitled to interrupt others, let alone shout at or belittle them. No one, regardless of what position they are taking on what issue. This includes specific members of the board when working in meetings with faculty. Those at the board table oversee a $4 billion budget, but were unprepared to manage a meeting for just a few hours. Time limits were ignored. Members of the audience conducted a vote on whether to allow the chairperson's husband to speak, despite not signing up to do so, and the board secretary permitted it. Trustee Deno put forth a resolution to release the Nassar documents when he knew it was out of order. That complete dysfunction and the virtual meeting it resulted in are testaments to the entitlement, lack of leadership, and theatrics that permeate the board. Such behaviors exemplify an uncurious and closed-minded approach that is anathema to a healthy university culture. In a statement to the media about that chaos, I said that Chairperson Vassar allowed the mob to rule the room. My goal was to support Trustee Brianna Scott in her courageous attempt to hold the chairperson accountable. A complaint to the Office of Institutional Equity was filed against me as a result of the use of the word mob. And I have heard from some members of our community who felt that the word mob was racially loaded. While I was not referring to members of any specific racial or ethnic groups, I recognize that the impact of my statement on some Spartans was real, and I apologize. I will certainly be more careful with my words in the future. Let me state unequivocally that Black and Arab students, as well as students of all races and ethnicities, belong at Michigan State University and deserve to feel welcome here. Last night, I joined leadership from the Black Faculty, Staff, and Administrators Association for a valuable dialogue on my comments and how they were received. I left with a better understanding of how my statements made others feel, and I hope that they left with a better understanding of the concern I was trying to express. Nobody has the right to interrupt others during these meetings. I appreciate the BFSAA's time and willingness to engage with me on this topic. I really enjoyed the exchange. But let's be clear, this is a university. The universities exist to allow us to experience and participate in discourse. Let's demonstrate that we can all be in the same room, take turns talking, and speak our truths respectively. We can disagree without ascribing motives to others. While Trustee Deno feels it appropriate to call me an anti-Arab or anti-Black racist, I don't think that our disagreements make him anti-Semitic. We simply disagree. I hope that we can focus on ideas instead of personalities in the future. To the public attending or participating in board meetings, show the respect you expect of others when you speak. No one is trying to silence anyone. Let's just take turns talking. To the wider community, sometimes you might hear an opinion or an assertion that you don't agree with. I heard plenty today, including untrue suggestions that I somehow tried to stop the presidential search, that I'm a racist, that I, quote, criminalize students, that the complaint filed with the Higher Learning Commission was mine and not the Faculty Senate's, and that I'm trying to hurt the chairperson rather than keep the board accountable. But universities allow inquiry, discourse, and free speech. We should all respect it. To certain members of the board, please manage your meetings, stay in your lane, and please end your coordinated, pervasive, and damaging retaliatory behaviors against your trustee colleagues, against members of the administration, and against faculty members now before our new president is seated. Thank you.
As we reach the end of another eventful year here at Michigan State University, it is fitting to pause and reflect on how we have survived and thrived and have moved our university forward in the midst of protracted, compounded traumas. Our university community has witnessed numerous milestones and achievements that we hold dear while battling all kinds of violence and turmoil. Each accomplishment is a testament to our collective commitment and our spirit. The one big commitment, accomplishment that I'd like to address is the hiring of a new president, Kevin Guskowitz. His acceptance of this crucial role marks a significant moment in our esteemed institution's journey. We look forward to working closely with him, bolstered by our steadfast dedication to shared governance. On that note, each trustee recently underscored their commitments to shared governance in a communication to our student and faculty liaisons. The letter highlighted 8 fundamental principles guiding our mission to create an environment of collaboration, respect, and excellence. These principles reinforce our confidence in Dr. Guskowitz's leadership as we commence this new chapter in MSU's history. As trustees, we will continue to serve as both resources and advisors to the president, ensuring our strategic goals are pursued with precision and purpose. I am optimistic about our future as we work towards realizing our 2030 strategic goals. We're putting the past behind us. Today and moving forward, it is vital that we remain focused on doing what is best for our student body, what's best for our faculty, what's best for our staff, our alum, and the families that bring and send their children to MSU. We want to make sure that they are safe, advocate for every opportunity for them to succeed. This is the way we heal. Speaking of healing, I am so proud to be a part of this board on this historic day. We are sorry for all the hurt and pain that survivors have experienced and continue to experience. For some, the decision made today is welcome news, but we also know that revisiting this investigation will be painful for many. And we want to remind the survivors of the MSU Healing Assistance Fund. They should need it. You should use it. I want also to remind everyone that I remain steadfast to accountability and transparency. Today, we take a bold step toward a bright green future of truth, and I want to make sure we see the process through. Thank you for your steadfast commitment as well to advocacy and activism, survivors. You have won this day for so many who are here and for those who could not be. The Jones Day Report. I was confident the Jones Day investigation would exonerate the board. I was hypervigilant as chair of the board to ensure that we did not receive or discuss details of the Tucker investigation and thus never received the name of the claimant before it was published. Since we never knew the name, we could not have been the source of the leak. We have also been working actively to improve our OIE and Title IX processes, and it is paramount to safeguard the independence of these investigations by not reviewing or discussing the details of an investigation before it is concluded. We will continue to ensure that the board protects the integrity of our Title IX processes moving forward. Finally, on a personal note, I was gratified that Jones Day not only found that I was not involved in any leak, but it fully exonerated me. We are moving forward in a spirit of collaboration, accountability, and transparency. I want to continue that spirit, even as I put that spurious allegation behind me. Fall grads, it is with immense pride that we celebrate the achievements of our fall graduates. I extend my warmest congratulations to them and their families as we continue to honor their accomplishments and their engagement during this commencement this afternoon and tomorrow. It is with privilege to already address some of our students at a special ceremony for our exceptional Black student graduates. Moments like these are poignant reminders of the diverse, remarkable talent that defines our university community. We also honored the Board of Trustees Scholarship Award recipients for fall semester 2023. They should be on your screen at this time. Are they?
Okay. Yes.
Conclusion. Finally, today I wear my mom in my ears. You can see how lovely she is. When reflecting on this year we've experienced together, I'm reminded of her lessons. Her words come to me every day. I feel her every time I notice my brow furrowing in concentration. I look up and I look like her. Or when strangers speak to me freely, even when I don't feel friendly. She was lovely in every way. I would not be here today without her. Robin would not allow me to quit anything ever in life. She would not allow it. You started it, you finish it. I had a year full of dread in track, because a whole season running in the hot sun, and I hate to run. Because she said, you started it, you can't quit. So I persist on this board. After this year of life-altering traumas, I'm committed to enacting justice in this sphere of influence that I've been granted. It's a privilege. Justice was my mother's biggest lesson to me. I'm committed to her legacy that lives through her children, and I'm committed to living out her legacy here at MSU. I eagerly anticipate the bright green future of MSU. We are indeed on the right track. I assure you that I am confident that many celebrations and proud moments await us. You know my regular mantra, rest, please get some rest. Come back refreshed, renewed, and ready for a revival in 2024. I'll see you next year. Go green.
Thank you, Chair Vassar. We'll next move through other trustee comments, starting with Vice Chair Kelly.
I want to welcome President-elect Kevin Guskowitz and wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Vice Chair Kelly. Trustee Byram.
Thank you. As faculty liaison, I'd like to congratulate Dr. Teresa Mastin on her selection as the next Vice Provost and Associate Vice President for Faculty and Academic Staff Affairs. To echo Interim Provost Yitzko, I'm confident she will do a wonderful job advancing our strategic priority of faculty and academic staff success. And I'd like to thank Dr. Ann Austin for all of the great work she did in the interim, and wish her the best as she returns to her faculty responsibilities. And speaking of faculty success, it was wonderful to attend the reception honoring the inaugural 1855 professorship recipients alongside Trustee Scott earlier this month. These professors were selected for their contributions to DEI-related scholarship, and I very much enjoyed learning about the transformative impact they are making on the underrepresented communities on campus and beyond. Finally, as some of you know, I'm passionate about sustainability. So like Interim President Woodruff, I was excited to see MSU included in the Princeton Review's list of the top 50 green colleges. I'd like to extend my congratulations to the fall graduates And I'd like to extend happy holidays to each and every one. As you enter winter break, please enjoy your rest. It's my hope that 2024 will bring a path of healing for the sister survivors. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Byram. Trustee Denno.
Hello. I have no prepared remarks, and I'll be quick. I was actually really looking forward to this meeting being on Zoom so I could be at home in my pajamas. But talked to Dr. Rima, and she convinced me to come to the student services building so I could be here with our students, with my fellow Arab Americans, with student leaders, with posse, with sister survivors. I'm going to do a quick 360 here if I can, or 180 at least. I really appreciate all your energy. I appreciate learning from you. I want to apologize for the hurt this university and this administration has caused. I hope you consider me an ally. I'm trying. I probably found out about the opening of Berkey Hall the same time as you. The tuition plan of something like $60,000 or $64,000 free tuition. If you make $64,000 or less. My wife knew about that before I did. So I just want to let you know that I'm excited about President Guskowitz. I've had some great preliminary conversations with him, and I look forward to continuing to working with you and learning from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trustee Denno. Trustee Kanaka Jefferson doesn't have comments this morning. Trustee Pierce.
Thank you. Sorry that I'm not on video. I'm definitely under the weather, but there was a lot of conversation during the comments about inclusion and equity, and I wanted to actually take a moment to congratulate the Office of Institutional Diversity and Inclusion, because last month they launched the DEI scorecard. We have to date nearly 300 action items and organizational changes that are going to be tracked and their progress reported with the DEI scorecard. I also want to recognize those faculty and the staff who double down on supporting the success of our students and reducing historic opportunity gaps through our community building. SVP Venny Gore and Dr. Megan Kosar, thank you, and all of your colleagues for the work that you're doing on the Inclusive Campus Initiative. We have lots of work to do. We're not done, but we are committed to bring equity and a welcome to all to this campus. Everyone, whatever you celebrate, have a good one, get some rest, enjoy the holidays.
Thank you, Trustee Pierce. Trustee Scott.
Thank you. As this year draws to a close, I'm filled with enthusiasm for the bright future that lies ahead for MSU and the Spartan community. And I'm enthusiastic and excited to welcome Dr. Guskowitz. I am super excited that he will be our next president. His leadership and promises to help be a guiding force in our journey forward are remarkable, and we are so elated to have someone of this caliber joining us at MSU. We're committed to collaborating with him and to elevate MSU to new heights. I'd like to also thank our interim president, Teresa Woodruff, for her leadership throughout this year. Her stewardship has been instrumental in laying the foundation during challenging times and guiding our university with resilience and vision. As Trustee Byram mentioned, we had the pleasure to attend the 1855 cohort reception hosted by the provost. It was an honor to recognize the 7 1855 professorship recipients, and I'm looking forward to hearing from them further. I did kind of put Dr. Doug Gage on the spot and asked whether or not, Thomas Yitzko, whether they could actually come to one of our board meetings in person to talk to us about the great research that they're doing, because all of them are such interesting projects. And so I do hope that in the coming year, we get to hear from each of them at some point. I'm also excited to witness the fall 2023 commencement today and tomorrow as our MSU graduates embark on a new chapter. And last week, I was honored to congratulate our new graduates at the Black Grad Celebration event. This event was significant because it recognized the achievements of our Black Spartans, and it fostered a sense of community and celebrated individual successes in completing undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral law degrees. Congratulations to all of our graduates. We are so proud of you. They're future history makers. Another memorable occasion for me was having the opportunity to be at the unveiling of the Dolores Wharton portrait at Cowles House in early November and sharing and hearing about the legacy Mrs. Wharton has created at this university and beyond. I am elated that I had an opportunity to speak and to meet her son. That was a wonderful occasion, and I think that everyone that was there felt the same. Lastly, this year we have visited many areas on our campus, and recently Trustee Teve and I had the opportunity to take a tour of the MSU College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. On this tour, we explored the greenhouses, the School of Packaging, and the dairy farm, where I had the unique opportunity to feed calves. And mine got done with their bottles first. I was a good bottle feeder. Anyway, tours like this offer important insights into MSU's diverse areas of study and research and highlight the depth of MSU's commitment to agriculture and natural sciences. I thank all of those who spoke on my behalf as well today. I don't expect and did not expect people to put themselves out. I know everybody's working and have other things to do, especially on Fridays, but the outpouring of support today meant a lot to me. And I'd also like to thank those that did not come on today, but that have reached out to me with cards, flowers, with phone calls, with emails all across campus. And actually, I would say the country, because I've heard from some of our alumni over in Europe even. You all have been an inspiration to me, and I definitely appreciate your support. And you all know who you are. I'd like to also thank the MSU NAACP students who had a meeting with the Student Life and Culture Committee to discuss ways in which we can better offer support and safety to our Black students on campus. I believe out of that we will come to an agreement on some action steps to help to change the hostile environments that they are experiencing, and that this will become a welcoming place that provides them with a sense of belonging. I'd also like to thank the BFSAA for meeting with Dr. Lipton, Dr. Stephanie Anthony, Dr. Karen Kelly Blake, and I to discuss the concerns raised about statements that Dr. Lipton made concerning the chaos that was present and that we all witnessed during the last board meeting. I understand that his choice of words caused hurt to many, and I do applaud him for listening and being open to further conversations to allow for healing. But I also thank you, Jack, for your courage and your commitment in search of the truth and always striving for excellence of our beloved MSU. I actually like to talk about being a whistleblower. I really didn't look at myself as a whistleblower until other people started telling me that that's exactly what I am. Whistleblowing is one of the most effective ways to detect and prevent corruption, malpractice, fraud. Whistleblower disclosures have exposed wrongdoing. They've helped save millions in public funds. They've avoided disasters for health, the environment. Whistleblowers are important in safeguarding the public good. And that has been repeatedly proved by scandals that they have uncovered. However, many more cases of wrongdoing could have been prevented if more people had come forward to expose problems to their organizations, the authorities, or the media. Unfortunately, reporting often comes at a very high price. Whistleblowers risk their careers, their livelihood, and sometimes their personal safety to expose wrongdoing that threatens the public interest. They may be fired, sued, blacklisted, arrested, threatened, or in extreme cases, assaulted or even killed. And in some cases, such as at MSU, whistleblowing carries connotations of betrayal rather than being seen as a benefit to the public. You're seen as a problem maker. Ultimately, societies, institutions, and citizens lose out when there is no one willing to cry foul in the face of corruption. So I wish to take this time to thank all of the brave individuals that have come forward to speak their truth during our current investigation that is being conducted by Miller Chevalier into the bullying, overreaching and unethical behaviors of members of the Board of Trustees. I know all too well the price of such bravery, as I have personally had my physical safety threatened, hate speech and racial insults made since I made the call for this investigation. Please know that in a few weeks, when this investigative report is released, all will know the truth and that the board will act accordingly for the greater good of Michigan State University, which, contrary to our board chair's assertions in her public interview back in October, is saying MSU is nothing but a mom and pop shop. In my mind, MSU is the state's university and one of the best in this nation. The fact that a board member cares deeply about students or any other constituency does not give that board member a right to do whatever they want and not follow rules. As a result of any board member not following the rules, it can be costly to the university and its students as a whole. And I would speak out about any board member doing these things. This is not personal. This is not about popularity or about how many good works or service of an individual related to leadership, support of any other organization, or on a personal note. This is about actions regarding the leadership role of the Board of Trustees regarding values, ethics, adherence to policies and rules, and following our own bylaws. Facts found in fair and impartial investigations are not declared as biased or an attack or based on a lack of love. It is not about that. It is strictly about following Board of Trustee rules and regulations regardless of sex, ethnicity, or a lack of knowledge. All the people that know and love a person can speak personally, but it won't change the actions within the board that have already occurred. Every human being knows what they have done, and true leaders actually take responsibility for their personal actions. And I look very forward to the results being made perfect. In closing, I hope everyone enjoys the holiday break, and I look forward to 2024. Go green.
Thank you, Trustee Scott. Trustee Tebay.
Thank you, Stefan. As a student liaison, today is one of my favorite days. We get to celebrate a record-breaking number of Michigan State graduates who have accomplished what many aspire to achieve, a perfect GPA. 65 graduating seniors received a 4.0 GPA during their time at MSU, and I'm so proud in each and every one of you. I personally want to apologize for not being able to make the reception to congratulate you in person, but I'm very glad that President Woodruff and many of the deans of the colleges were there to support you. Additionally, I would like to congratulate the MSU debate team for reaching the octo-finals at the Franklin R. Shirley class hosted by Wake Forest University last month. With the hiring of President-elect Kevin Guskowitz and the vote to release the documents, I hope the board can lead the MSU community in a productive and positive way in the new year, and I look forward to continuing to work with the students in the coming year. Thanks.
Thank you, Trustee Tebay. Interim President Woodruff, that concludes trustee comments.
Thank you. Trustees, is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Oh, sorry. Support.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Everyone froze.